Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We just want to welcome you for attending today for our Sunday school hour. Hope and pray you're having a good Sunday. It's good to see those of you that were able to make it out here for the Sunday school hour. Amen. All right, church, for those of you guys who know, we're taking a topical break from our Fox's Book of Martyrs study that we were doing, and we are just rehearsing and retouching on some basic Bible fundamental doctrines, and we are utilizing the material from Brother James W. Knox, pastor of Bible Baptist Church there in Deland, Florida. You can discover in our video description the link to where you can purchase this book material to help you and to edify you in the faith. And so we encourage you to purchase that book, as it's been a phenomenal blessing to our church for discipleship, and hope it'll be a blessing to you if you so require this book. So today, church, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles back to the book of John, chapter number 4. It's going to be part 2 of God is a Spirit. And we were discussing this last Sunday school where we left off. So please join us if you have the green book there with you. Page number 18, God is a Spirit. And as you make your way there, I'm going to go ahead and see if we have the Bible comparison here in the Reina Valera Gomez 2010. Give me 1 second here. Figure something out, church. Give me a second. Yep. Okay, so with that said, let's go ahead and open up together. If you have your study book, page 918 and the Sure Foundation, and if you have a Bible, John chapter 4, verse number 24. So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ discussing with the woman at the well. For those of you who remember the story, this is a woman that is a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a half-breed, if you will, a mixture of two ethnicities, one of the children of Israel, half-Israelite, if you will, and the other half, that of a Gentile, back in the days during the captivities of the people of Israel, the children of Israel. They intermingled themselves with the Samaritans, something that God forbade that in the law, but nevertheless, they continued to live on. And how many of you guys know, again, as we learned from last Friday discipleship class, God has compassion. God has mercy on people. And so with that said, we are learning together on how he ministered to this woman at the well and how he is going to proclaim something powerful concerning who God is. And let's read together now verse number 22 in John chapter 4. And the Bible says here, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Notice, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And let's read it together, church, verse number 24. "God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for allowing us to gather for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the saints coming. I pray that you would continue to help us to grow in our understanding of these amazing basic Bible doctrines, basic fundamental truths that we should know, and help us to continue to be disciple from the Holy Spirit, from the Bible, and others that have studied and labored away so we can glean from their teachings. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, church, for those of you coming in, Sure Foundation, page 18, we're just doing our part 2 on God is a Spirit. And as I'm reading here on the bottom, page 18, here's what Brother James says, that he hates to have to keep pointing out the heresies found in the new versions, but we must sound the alarm when necessary. The A in God is a Spirit is known as an indefinite article. It distinguishes and identifies what follows. This identifying article is removed from many of the new translations of the Bible. They simply say God is Spirit. This is inaccurate. God is a Spirit. Because you see, angels are spirits. Good angels, bad angels, fallen angels, devils are spirit beings of a sort. Therefore, God is not spirit. He is a spirit. That is, he is a living personality, though unseen by human eyes, because God is a living personality. He is a spirit. I think some of you guys know what we were talking about in our last gathering. Number 2, page 19. When God or angels appeared to men, either a vision was seen or manifestation took place. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles together now to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. And as I was reading this the other day, and also just this morning for some of you who just came in, I just happened to cross-reference the Spanish Bible, and unfortunately, they don't have it accurately translated. They have Dios es Espíritu, God is Spirit, right? And that's exactly what the modern versions do. So again, that's why I prefer the King James Bible, God is a Spirit, and that is the exact representation that God has preserved throughout time to represent that he is a person, if you will, or a personality. He is not spiritual as all the other created beings, like the devils and other things. So that's very good to remember, church. Okay, let's go to Daniel 9, verse number 20. We're talking about when God or angels appear to men, they either did so in a vision or a manifestation. So let's read this example. Verse number 20. Whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, here's Daniel, the prophet, while they were in captivity, remember that, under Babylon? And he says here, in presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the what? Vision, at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Here we have an angel being shown to or being seen by Daniel, and that's what, as he is rehearsing the account, he saw him earlier in a vision. Let's go ahead now and turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And let's read together, church, starting here in verse number 10. The Bible says here, this is John the Apostle now, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So here we have John describing seeing Jesus Christ, where? In heaven. Isn't that cool? John describes his appearance in the next few verses. Verse number 17, read this. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. How about that? So what do we see here, church? John had a vision of God himself, the Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, so far, we are talking about visions. And here are people, this is mankind, being allowed of God to supernaturally see these heavenly, if you will, beings in a vision. We find many visions recorded throughout the Bible. One of the most striking is recorded in Revelation chapter 9. So church, if you have a Bible, let's turn there now. Revelation 9. Revelation is the last book in your Bible, so you can just open up all the way to the right-hand side. And let's talk about this here in verse number 17. Talk about a vision. Watch this. And he says, and thus I saw the horses in the what? Vision. And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth, brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, remember, a Bible-based church will always interpret the Word of God literally unless the immediate context in the Scriptures state otherwise, to say it's a figurative, right, or a symbolic. This is literal. And I know how Hollywood is perverting the Bible. I know how Hollywood tries to arouse the imaginations of men with all the comic book stuff and out there, and you see all these crazy beings and creatures. But look at what John saw, guys. Look at that. Heads of horses, whereas the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. That is real. And that is what people are going to be seeing during the time of the Great Tribulation. Talk about some supernatural beings, amen? But notice, he saw that in a vision. So that's what we're talking about, church. Let us see what a vision is. Page 20, if you have your green book. Brother James defined a vision as God working a miracle on the human eyesight so that eternal beings can be seen. So let's repeat that again. Church, what is a vision? It is a miracle on the human eyesight so that eternal beings can be seen. A vision can display or reveal good angels. For example, Daniel 9, remember we were just talking about that? A vision could also reveal God himself, as we just read in Revelation 1. Or a vision could reveal evil angels, as we just saw right now in Revelation 9. But such sightings constitute a vision. So now you know, church, what a vision is. It is a miracle God work on your eyesight to be able to see eternal beings. The second kind of revelation, church, is what is called a manifestation. A manifestation is where a heavenly being takes a human form for a few minutes or for a few years. Let's repeat that. What is a manifestation, church? It is when a heavenly being takes a human form for a few minutes or for a few years. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges 13. And let's read together now, church, in verse number 9. Let's see about this manifestation when an angel appeared unto a human, if you will, and therefore took upon themselves the form of a human. Page 20 in the green book. But if you have your Bible, Judges 13, verse 9. Okay, here's what the Bible says, church. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, can you say the next two words with me, church? The man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Let me just remind us, some of you guys have already heard this statement stated before. Some of you guys may hear this for the very first time. But let's remember, every time an angel appears to people in the Bible, they appear as men, not as females. Let me repeat that. Every time an angel appears to men in the Bible, or women, they appear as men, not females. So there goes all of your, you know, silly movies, right, that the Christian movie production folks make, and obviously the Roman Catholic Church with their pictures, and every other whatever religious organization with female angels, they are biblically incorrect. Angels always appear to mankind in the form of a man or male. You understand? Okay. He said here, or she says, hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Manoah rose, went after his wife, and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Isn't that cool? The angel said, that's right. I am the what? I'm the man. You like that? Okay. Another such case, and one that I particularly like, Brother James says, is found in Luke 24. Let's go to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, we're on page 20 on your green book study. In this particular context, church, we find that the unbelieving disciples of the Lord have gone to his grave on the third day after his crucifixion, and there they are met by two angels who ask a striking question. Let's see what the angels ask those disciples that came to look at the empty tomb. Read with me here, church, in verse number 5. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? What a powerful statement. What do the angels affirm? The Lord whom you're seeking is alive. He is not dead. Look at verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Two angels gave the grand news that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. You also can read the parallel in John 20, verse 11 through 12. John 20, verse 11 through 12. And if you want to go a little bit earlier as far as their garments or what they wore, look at verse 4. Two men stood by them in shining garments. So when an angel appeared, at least in this context, what type of clothing did they have? Shining garments. Isn't that pretty cool? Hebrews chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, church. Just look up to the projector screen. I'm just going to remind you quickly here in verse 13 through 14. Remember, this is what the Bible defines angels as spirits, okay? Look at here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13 through 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister who shall be heirs of salvation? So again, church, angels are spirits, and therefore they are invisible. 2 Corinthians 4:18. But when there's a manifestation, that is when they are visibly able to be seen physically in a human form. And in what human form do they appear, church? Male or female? Male, if you guys are following along. Okay. Since we are studying the doctrines of God, let us see where the Bible declares that the invisible God made himself manifest. Now that's good. Let's go to John 1. Because ultimately, church, this is the miracle of your faith as a Christian. This is the grand fundamental truth that makes Christianity superior and truth compared to every other religion on the planet. This is what proves biblical Christianity true and every other religion of man false, because the Bible claims that God, the creator of the universe, manifested in a body of flesh. Let's go to John 1. Bottom page 20 in your green book. If you have your Bible, John 1, verse 14. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The eternal Word of God was made flesh and a body prepared in the womb of Mary. And the eternal Word of God inhabited that baby, that body, if you will, that forming of the human body. And that is the supernatural miracle of the what we call incarnation, church. Let's turn our Bibles now to 1 Timothy 3:16. This is another powerful verse that separates biblical Christianity from false Christianity, like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses that claim to be Christians, but their Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh. Their Jesus is a God created by Heavenly Father or Jehovah. So they have the wrong Jesus. And if those Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons do not repent and trust the biblical Jesus, unfortunately, they're going to go to hell because they are believing in a false Jesus. You say, Brother Carlos, how do I know that I believe in the right Jesus? Because if you believe that Jesus was God who died for you on that cross, you got the right Jesus. You're all good. Look together with me now, church, here in 1 Timothy 3:16. Look at how awesome this is. The Bible says here in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy. How many of you guys have heard of things that are controversial in life? Remember people talking about this? Oh, that's a controversial topic. Well, you know what the Holy Spirit said about Jesus Christ? This ain't a controversy. This is the truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. Here it is. You ready? God was manifest in the flesh. There you have it. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So, church, Bible trivia. Let's test to see who is here with me this morning, this afternoon. Who was Jesus Christ? There you go. Is that a controversial thing for Christians to believe, or is it not a controversy? It's not. It shouldn't be controversial, because look, without controversy, this is a biblical truth. This is the truth. So now, this is the number one thing that you can ask anybody you meet out there in the streets or the people knocking on your door. The simple question is this: who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe that he was created, or do you believe that he was God manifest in the flesh? And as soon as they say created, close the door kindly. Oh, sorry, man, y'all got the wrong Jesus. That ain't going to come in here. But if they're like, oh, we believe Jesus God, cool. Y'all got fellowship there, amen. Then you can obviously prove a mouse on other things you want to as you feel led there. But notice, manifestation, that is an eternal being taking upon a human form. That is a manifestation. Page 21. God is invisible. Thus, men have only seen him when he has chosen to manifest himself. That's pretty reasonable, and that's obviously a pretty consistent thought throughout the Bible. The verb form of manifest means to make evident. The adjective form of the word means readily perceived. So, a biblical manifestation is an event wherein a heavenly being takes a human form for a few minutes, or, as in the case of Jesus, for several years. Let me repeat that. Biblical manifestation is an event wherein a heavenly being takes a human form for a few minutes, or, as in the case of our Lord, several years. We've learned so far from the verse just quoted that man has seen the invisible God. The Lord has been seen, not in his unveiled glory, but rather he has clothed himself in a manifestation of human flesh. By the way, let us just go back and kick those modern versions just one more time. In 1 Timothy 3:16, here we have the glorious statement from the Holy Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the creator of the universe, veiled in a body of human flesh. This verse has been altered and changed in all the modern translations to something like this: he was manifest in the flesh, or he who was revealed. But every single one of you right now has been manifest in the flesh. Your incarnation and mine does not constitute the mystery of godliness. Katie's manifest in the flesh. Sister Kina's manifest in the flesh. Giovanni and little Givi, you guys are all manifest in the flesh. But what's the mystery of godliness? There's only one time, church, that God was manifest in the flesh, and that's Jesus Christ. Not just another he, that is, another man like you and I. Therefore, the King James Bible is superior to all the modern translations. Number three, bottom page 21. The word appeared is often used in Scripture to describe God, angels, or Jesus after his resurrection being seen by men. Of course, these events were either manifestations or visions. But where the word appear is used, there is no definite distinction made as to whether it was a manifestation or a vision. Isn't that cool? So as you guys study your Bible at home and you look up the word appear, you're going to be able to see a supernatural interaction. But sometimes the Bible won't tell you if it's a vision or a manifestation. You're just going to have to do your due diligence to study. Amen. Okay, Exodus 19. The Bible says the people saw the God of Israel on Mount Sinai. God appeared there. Now, whether God worked a miracle on the eyesight or some other such thing is not stated particularly, but we know that one of the two had to be the case. Let's go to Matthew 17. This is one of the unique appearances of people who haven't lived in a long time, and nevertheless, they appeared before men. Let's turn to Matthew 17. And let's read together now, church, in verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And now look at verse 3. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So what a unique account that God recorded in the Bible and preserved it. At a part in the Lord's ministry, he took up the disciples to a high mountain, and while they were there, he was supernaturally transfigured before them. In other words, there was a complete change in his garment and his countenance. And all of a sudden, there supernaturally appeared who? Moses and Elias. Well, who's Elias? That's just the Greek translation of Elijah, okay? Jesus was transfigured. In other words, he changed from one figure to another. That's all that means. The invisible, veiled glory of God was shining through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God allowed the light of his majesty to shine forth and showed himself in his glory to mortal man. You will come across many places in your Bible where God appeared. Whether it was a vision or manifestation, again, is not always stated because God is a spirit. However, it will always be one of those two phenomena. Now, a side nugget. How did Peter, James, and John recognize that those two individuals were Moses and Elijah? Again, those are one of the unique questions that we can ask the Lord when we get to heaven. We don't have a lot of detail, but somehow, some way, supernaturally, they had the understanding that those two individuals were Moses and Elijah because they hadn't lived in a long time. You guys remember that? So that's pretty unique how they recognize that's Moses and that's Elijah. Point number four, before we come to a close, page 22. Not only has God the Son appeared to men, but the Holy Spirit has also appeared. Remember that we have noted that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, 1 John 5:7. God the Holy Spirit has also appeared, that is, he has taken on some sort of physical manifestation that the invisible God might be observed by mortal man. Luke chapter 3, let's go there. Luke chapter 3, and by the way, church, this is the only record in your Holy Bible where the Holy Spirit chose to manifest himself in some bodily form. There is no other recorded event of this nature, if you will, that resemble, or in other words, that reveals the Holy Spirit's person. And number two, I must point out, yes, even Christians like to watch movies and the imagination's tickled, amen. There is a movie out there called Heaven is for Real. It accounts the story of a little boy who died. Some of you guys maybe have seen it, maybe you heard about it. But as the little boy grew up older, you know, and they are recording his story and the account of what happened, he states that the Holy Spirit was a blue man or some blue figure, okay? So with all those weird accounts that you're going to see on YouTube, I died, I went to heaven, this is what I saw, take it with a grain of salt. If it's not in the book, ignore it. You can say, hey, brother, if it calls you to change and trust Christ, rejoice, amen. The guy's no longer smoking toke, you know what I mean? But other than that, it ain't biblically accurate. Don't worry about all that weird Holy Spirit was this and that. But watch this, Luke 3:21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended, say with the church, in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. Isn't that something? The Holy Ghost descended from heaven in a bodily shape like a dove. So let me ask you a quick question. Was the Holy Spirit a dove? Remember how we were learning about forms of speech in English? Like, anybody remember that? It's a simile, it's a comparison. He wasn't a dove. He descended like a dove. So he had some bodily shape. Now, again, you're going to see all the pictures, you know, of Jesus baptized a little dove. That's okay. It's not a big deal. But my point is, when he was descending bodily from heaven, he descended, according to John the Baptist, this is how he's describing. He saw it. He came like a dove. So could he have come in a unique bodily shape? Man, we don't know what the bodily shape was, but he's just saying this is how he lighted upon, you know, the Lord Jesus like a dove. So anyways, that's pretty cool. John the Baptist said in John 1:30-33 that he saw God the Holy Spirit. He actually saw the Holy Spirit as he was manifest in a body of flesh. In this case, it was not human flesh, but that of a dove. Let us consider now the practical things as we come to a close. John 4:24, once again, God is a spirit. I think many times we fail to emphasize that fact when the Bible says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Please consider something. You may have worshiped God perhaps with your hands, perhaps with your knees, perhaps with the singing of a song, and perhaps with the singing of your lips. Perhaps you have even said good things and right things about God. But you were made in the image of God. You are a body, soul, and spirit. So here's the question. Have you ever really worshiped God in spirit? Or have you been a religious person mouthing words and performing deeds and actions that you thought might gain you a place in heaven? We pray to an unseen God. We worship an unseen God. We do not need images to aid us, amen. We don't need idols or statues or plaques or dollies or beads. My friend, tell me the truth. Is your worship really the worship of God? Is it spiritual worship? Or have you invented all other sorts of things and made them a part of your worship? God said through his Son that we must worship him in spirit, not with things made with our hands, not with material objects. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Does anybody have any questions or comments for today's Sunday school lesson and what we talked about today? What is a vision? Anybody? It is God miraculously working on human eyesight to see eternal beings. What is a manifestation? It is when an eternal being takes upon a human form to be seen, either for a few minutes or a few years. And lastly, how do angels always appear to mankind in the Bible, as male or female? Male. There you go. So now you know. A vision, manifestation, spirits. Amen. All right, church. Hope that blessed you. Let's go and take a 15-minute break and get ready for our Sunday service. The Lord bless.